Hi, I'm Dan.
And I'm Eric.
And you are due for a sharpening.
This is Due for a Sharpening with Daniel and Eric Riley. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy today's content.
Me too.
Alright, fuck that.
I'm just trying to riff, Pops. Music is my life. Wasn't your life yesterday. That's what you say. So this is... No, it's this one, right? Due for a sharpening. Due for a sharpening. You're due for sharpening. Oh, I'm going to get fired for this because this doesn't sound very good. This is like everything you can hear on the radio, except if it were a little bit better than the radio. Dude, the radio is awful. I was riding around with someone. I'm not allowed to say names on this podcast anymore. Come on. Riding around in something you ride around in. I can't name types of transportation on this podcast anymore. Right? And there was a radio station called Octane. And it's like, you know what radio rock is at now?
It's hard to say.
It's
because it's not rock, first of all. No, Nothing's been rock for years. They're like, that rock doesn't even mean anything. It's such a vague term to describe such a, you know,
right.
There's so many varieties of it. So to put John Mayer and Metallica on the same station.
Old. Right. Those are the types of rock, soft and old rock that you just described. Man, it's just like a terrible, crappy cacophony amalgam of a bunch of different genres where they're all the parts of these genres that you would never be like, that part would go with that part, you know, where it's like fish goes with white wine, but not because you can break the glass and shove it up your ass and then like, you know, clean your fingernails with the bones from the meat. Like, that's not why fish goes with wine, you know, but that's how they pair all this stuff together to make this awful meat. It's just terrible. But that's not about hockey.
Mm-mm.
Someone's blowing up my phone, but I'm not going to answer it.
Timing.
Yeah, that's good. All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah.
Cheers.
We were just talking about how, you know, this time of year, usually a lot going on. There's not as much to do around. There are some trades or trade deadline coming up. But besides that.
Oh, there's stuff to do or there's no ado about anything?
Ado. There's no. Yeah. There's
I bid just nothing you going on to really do.
To right. do.
Yeah.
For sharp.
Well, there's a lot of speculation. We had this is dated now, of course, but we had Tarasenko go to the Rangers, which apparently bummed out Patrick Kane because he thought that he was in line
he
for it.
He was going to,
you know, so this whole time, like, the Rangers were out Tinder dating all these people and were like, oh, no, yeah, I'm going to call you. And then didn't call you one star, bitch, you know. So, I've never seen anything like that before. And it may just be the availability through social media now, but where a player was like, fuck, I wanted to go there and I thought I had a chance.
Right.
And they picked some other dude instead.
Then he called out Chicago. I don't know if it was like 2 days ago. And he said, Chicago's bad at player development. And that's a reason that no one wants to stay there. He actually said that to the media.
What about Seth Jones? Hey, if anything tells you that they're bad at player development, it's signing a dude to an $8 million. Was it eight? It's got to be like eight or nine, but it's over 8 years. Huge contract. like after you make a couple moves that imply you're going to rebuild, and then before a ton of moves that definitely imply you're going to have a rebuild. So it's like, before we trade everything away and get all these prospects and picks, we're going to go out and get a 29-year-old player and yep. keep him around till he's, you know, 47. Here's a bunch of money. And when we have to sign all these RFAs, because, you know, we're getting all these like top 15 picks, we won't have money for it.
We can't afford any of it.
Because of Seth Jones.
And you can't trade him because he sucks.
Yeah. So like, and it sucks that he's, you know, so Eric and I saw a Lightning playoff game a couple years back. Obviously, we don't have to tell you how awesome the atmosphere was for an NHL playoff game. Oh, we will say, though, that they totally jinxed it, because there was some radio rock channel, Octane-esque band. Couple nice things, I guess, about hockey in warm climates is
band outside.
Yeah. So like hanging outside at Amalie Arena is really cool before the game. So they had a band, and they had like, I think it was because of NBC mixed with the NHL. But why the cup fuck there. Did they have it again? It was a replica of the Stanley Cup, but the Stanley Cup
still,
and its replicas. There's like three or four subsequent replicas that are official of the Stanley Cup, because like some people bring them to events that, okay, we don't want the real one. And even the real ones, like, not, I don't know. Point is, they're all authentic and real, because like, it's not like the cup that they've been winning for the past 50 years has the original silver bowl on top of it.
Right.
You know,
the one that weighed, you know, 60 pounds on its own.
So in the way that like there's a real Stanley Cup is kind of like the idea of like holy water, you know, like it's just fucking tap water, but like some dude who you put faith in to be worth a damn or worth damning stuff and people and, you know, other tribes, all that. Then you believe that that's now holy water, right? So some sanction through the NHL gives the four Stanley Cups like a pecking order of authenticity, even though not, they're just made to replicate the original cup anyway. So they had maybe like the bottom rung of the hierarchy at the rink, but they still had it there, and they hadn't played a shift of playoff hockey yet. This was game one. This was an hour and a half before game one.
Game one of the playoffs of round one, the year that Tampa got knocked out in the first round against Columbus. And yeah, we were at the first game.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah. They basically announced before playoffs started that Tampa was winning.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you didn't go, and NBC and the NHL, they didn't go give any other team a replica championship trophy. So that one baffled the shit out of me. I really don't understand it. Like, why do you get to do that?
Right.
You get, because they won the President's Trophy. I don't know if there's some stipulation, like a clause flying around that says, if you win the President's Trophy, we will definitely make sure that you're ousted in the first round by bringing Stanley Cup to your arena prior to you playing game one. Because if there are hockey gods, that is like one of their favorite ways to wake them up and be like, not today, you know. Because the singer of this band, he goes, this thing should have champagne in it, pointing at his shoe, the cup,
right?
So there it was. So they didn't win a fucking game. They got ousted in four. At the time, my biggest takeaway of the game, Seth Jones was the best player on the ice.
Absolutely.
And he played like 26 and a half minutes. So you got a lot of opportunity.
He owned Tampa that night.
He sure did.
Owns.
But that was a while ago. It's
been a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's definitely fallen off. Obviously, being on a team like Chicago doesn't help. But, you know.
Yeah. But if Kane is what it is, if there's any merit to Kane saying that the reason people don't want to stay there is because of player development, it's like, how do you expect people to develop players when you spent years and years trading picks away and stuff to bolster yourselves at the deadline so you could try to win cups? I mean, dude, you got three cups out of that shit.
Yeah.
You know, like
let it go
in the eyes of ownership and management. Like that's pretty job well done. That's worth it.
Yeah.
So at least, hey, speaking of Seth Jones, like you're not Columbus where they can draft well all they want and guys just walk once they're UFAs, right. You know? So like all this stuff they put into, like they got Saad and then they tricked the Hawks into trading Panarin to get Saad back. Panarin walks for the big marquee trade that the, or signing or trade that the Rangers always have to make, you know, cause they're like yeah. the biggest market in hockey. So, and it's flashy, right? It's Broadway. It's all that stuff. So you got to bring the big players and they've always done that. But yeah, Columbus has, I mean, it's a good thing Zach Werenski, even though, you know, he hasn't played like all year. They shut him down because yeah. of a, I forget what his injury was, but you had Seth Jones and Zach Werenski.
Yeah.
And you
pretty
had
tandem.
Rick Nash. And like I said, Panarin didn't stay there. And so the Johnny Gaudreau going there and like Line A signing any kind of deal extension after that trade, that was like the, maybe this is a turn of the corner, but I feel for Columbus because unless that really is the, like a turn of the corner to get guys, big, you know, names to want to go there as a destination, they're doomed to forever wallow right around that. We can maybe make it to the second round of the playoffs kind of area. Cause you're just not going to get over the hump, you know? So I don't know.
They need to get to the point where Toronto is at, where they have all the big names and then they still lose in the first round.
Right. And there's other things. Speaking of that, we can probably do a show on this sometime. So Crosby made those comments that I think a lot of players feel about going back to the 1-8 system, which essentially what the NHL did by creating the wild card thing, like it's still 1-8 in the conference. It's the same thing. The only difference is now you have a wild card, which I think was another attempt to get fans who don't watch hockey over from other sports that they do watch that have the term wild card in their playoff format, you know?
Yeah, it's just marketing.
But it's not any different. It's the same shit. What is different is the bracketing. So
right, because now you play your division
fucking first. Rival, right? So if you're like finishing second or third in your division is not easy. So your punishment for your reward for finishing second is playing whoever the hell's third, you know, which in today's NHL means they're just as good as you are. So as someone who doesn't really have skin in that game where the Lightning play the Maple Leafs in the first round or the Bruins play the Maple Leafs in the first round, which is probably what's going to happen this year. Right.
Yep.
Like I'm glad it's a good matchup right away. However, you would still have that matchup. They would just be playing better if you went back to the old format, I think, because by the time you get to like the conference semis and then, you know, the actual conference finals, like, God damn, is that good hockey by that time?
Yeah. Well, they're finally getting rolling. They got their legs under them. They've made it through a round or two. So yeah, they're starting to feel
it. Yeah. So why wouldn't you want to watch Toronto and Boston play?
That's
then?
When you need that matchup.
Nothing against the first round of the playoffs. It's fucking amazing.
No,
but
what happens is you have those awesome matchups in the first round. And then by the time you get to the conference finals, it's like one team blows the other one out.
Yeah. Like, and then the maybe even the cup kind of does that too. Sometimes it's kind of hard to get a cup final that is super anticipated because you figure it's not going to be one of those fizzle out one-sided things, you know?
Right. So they sacrificed trying to get people in on the playoffs from the get-go for not having anything to look forward to later.
Yeah. And it depends, obviously. So like I said, I don't have skin in that game. So it is cool to watch right off the bat. But by the time my team gets back into the playoff contention,
right,
you know, and we're good enough to play to the point where we finish second. Yeah, I don't want to play whoever the fuck is a point behind us in the first round.
Right.
You want to get some padding, right? So I see that being something. But, you know, Gary Bettman came back and was like, well, it's not all that easy. There's tons of shit. Yeah. You know, I'd have to, like, do this. And I'd have
press,
to, like,
press this button.
Yeah, and I'd have to, like, dot that I and, like, I'd have to call someone, and it's tired in here. It's just, can you turn the TV back on?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's not going to fucking happen anytime soon.
Yeah.
There will still be hockey in Arizona, and the format for the playoffs will not go back to the 1-8 thing.
Not but anytime soon anyway.
I guess we don't need to do a show on that now. We just talked about it.
Yeah, we covered it.
Plus minutes. But so trades, big looming trades possibly. Jacob Chychrun. I know that how to say it, and I just like had total stage fright right there because I can see myself on the screen. Jacob Chychrun has been put on ice purposely until he gets traded, right? So to me, that tells me there doth be many suitors for him. So who knows?
They're taking a gander under his frock.
Yeah, exactly. But like, think about how much you'd have to get up to give up to get a guy like that. So like, who's really in a position as a team in the league who, okay, so here's what I submit. If it's actually going to be where neither side really gets fleeced, especially the Coyotes, to get Jacob Chychrun, you'd want at least what you'd want two first round picks. You'd want a ready to go player who's young, maybe a little bit of veteranship. So maybe like a 26-year-old with like 4 or 5 seasons under his belt, you know, someone real like that. And like a ready to go dynamite prospect. And that there could be even more than that, right? But like, if you're going to get Chychrun, who I think has like 3 years left on his deal, so it's not an instant turn and burn where you're going to risk signing him or you're going to risk losing him because he doesn't want to sign with you. Plus, I don't think that really works these days anyway. They do that like sign and trade shit, you know, like they did that with Tkachuk, where he actually signed with the Flames and then got traded because nobody wants to put up that kind of capital for the running the risk. Oh, we don't really know what the player wants. You're just going to ship him over here. No, the players have a lot more clout in this these days.
Yeah, for sure.
So like, okay, I'll give you a list of who I will go to and then we'll guarantee that he's got a contract. Chychrun's different. He's got like 3 years left on this deal and then he's due for a huge raise, right?
Yeah.
So that means you're going to have to afford him when it happens. You're going to have to afford him now by handing all that shit over. And getting him is supposed to be because, you know, it puts it right on that maybe over the hump, right? Where now you're really competitive and you could win a cup. Or, okay, so let's just say that's the thing. What fucking team can do that? Where you have like two different rungs of a core on your team. So you have the guys who you have now who are the core, that they're the ones who are going to be the stars to put you there, right? But then you're going to be able to get rid of one of them to put in this trade. You're going to have to get rid of a young prospect.
Right, which means you have to have that.
Right, you'd have to have like a surplus of this to justify getting rid of it. And you have to have first round picks within at least one a year for the next like 2 years.
Yeah, well, I read an article that said, and this makes sense for lower echelon teams at the moment because you're going to be picking higher anyway. Team like that could get away with maybe a second round pick this year, but a first round pick next year.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, I guess if you're an upper echelon playoff team, then yeah, you might have to give up two first rounds. But that would inherently, I think, lower the value of players you'd have to send.
Yeah, because you know that it's the difference between picking 8th and picking 28th.
Right.
Right. Because they're already a good team and they're going to go for a run.
So and like I've said before, that team, in my opinion, would be Toronto because they have the current players to offer up. They don't have the defense.
Which means they could use Chychrun big time.
Right. But the one thing that I'm not sure of is what their prospect pool looks like. And I would imagine it's not very good because of how high they've been picking for the last 10 years.
Well, it's funny because I was like, if you look on like Reddit and shit, Toronto fans think that their prospect pool is good. So
do they know?
Yeah, they do. But that's based off like a couple players. But you're
all right.
To be fair, I don't know either. Like I don't know which guys that they look at. But
right.
Yeah, you're right. So like there's a couple teams that getting Chychrun would actually make sense for.
Other one would be the Red Wings. And I'm not just saying that.
No, like, I know
we have the prospect pool. We have at least a few guys that we could toss up that are currently playing. Granted, they're ones that we as fans don't want to get rid of, but you know, you do what you got to do.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like the problem with Chychrun to Detroit is that he's a left-handed D. He would instantly be your top left-handed D. That's great and right. All. But the Wings are the most, they have the most depth probably at left-handed D out of anyone,
yeah.
Any position, right? They just signed Olimata today to a 2-year extension, right? So you got him, you got Wallman, who you're either, I really don't want to see Wallman go. He's just great. You know, he's having a breakout fucking year. So
he just needs to stay healthy, though.
Yeah. And then you've got Sherratt to another 4 years after this. He's a lefty. And Simon Edvinson and Albert Johansson in the minors.
Yeah, there's really no room.
Right. So, but getting Chychrun would be like, who cares if there ain't room? We'll fucking make room because suddenly he's better than everyone except potentially Edvinson, I would say. We don't know if Edvinson's going to be, he could be a better player than Chychrun, right? Right.
But we also have the cap space. So
right. We have the cap space, but you're still giving up a lot to get him.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to wait that couple years to extend him. And in that vein, you're like extending the guys who you have to give up a lot of money to all at the same time. So it'd be like Raymond, Sider, and Chychrun at the same time are all due for like nine. I don't know where Raymond's going to be, but you get what I mean. Like Chychrun and Sider would almost certainly be getting like between $8 and $10 million dollars a year. And you're going to have to sign them at the same fucking time.
Like, right. Which would put us into the Toronto position.
Right. So if you pass on Chychrun and you wait for the guys who you have now to reach their bridge deals and you sign them big. And then by the time that's like, you got your padding down or you figure out how to manage that cap hit, Edvinson is coming up and like maybe just at the end of his entry level contract and in need for a little bridge deal, you know? So like having that separation of prospects by 3 or 4 years is good and advantageous for that. So
yeah, definitely
other teams that could get Chychrun would kind of fall in the same. I mean, anyone could fucking get them. I'm not saying they can't. It's will it be a bad deal? Will it be just like, oh, gotta get this, even though it doesn't fit into our plans? I can't stand the Bruins, but because their thing is extremely simple, get them, make yourself better on the blue line, win a cup.
Yeah.
Right. There you go. That makes the most sense. There. Right. When you're going to have to fucking.
You got 1 year of Bergeron left. That's basically the marker for when they're going to have to stop trying.
Right. So you could either then wait and extend Chychrun and then pull a Seth Jones situation. So he's around while you're rebuilding. But since he's only around for like, that's the beauty of as much as you're going to have to give up to get him. He's like a rental, but he's a rental that you wouldn't mind having not extend a contract with, because if you got him for 3 years, use him for what you need him to, and then trade him and get a bunch of shit back anyway and let someone else deal with the big contract.
Yeah, that's how you get a bunch of picks while you're rebuilding at the very beginning. Chychrun, boom.
Yeah.
Second and first round pick next 2 years.
Yeah. So to me, like Boston, Toronto, that shit makes the most sense to me to get Chychrun. So it's either going to be like that, or it's going to be another like Bo Horvat goes to the Islanders, and it makes
right
kind of not a lot of sense. I mean, it works,
yeah,
but it's like, I don't know. It's just not. So Chychrun should go somewhere fucking exciting, I think. And that leads us to that notion that why aren't there exciting deals going on anymore at the trade deadline?
Right.
I don't know.
Now, I do think that with, at least with Chychrun, if, I don't know, like it does make sense to send him somewhere that's going to try to get over that hump, but he's also a guy who's was drafted by Arizona. So like he doesn't have any playoff experience.
Wherever he goes, it'll be his first game in the playoffs.
Yeah. So you have no idea how that's going to turn out.
Right.
So it might behoove a team that's lower to get him and actually keep him in their system for longer.
And be like, now you're part of our future plans.
Right.
It, like the thing in Arizona could just be a footnote to the success he has with someone else for the next 10 plus years. That very well could be too. And maybe that's why there's so many different ways to go on this. And that's why they're going to just sit him for a week or two while they figure out who takes him home.
Yeah, which is actually a pretty funny move because you sit him before you know where he's going. So every team's like, we need to hurry this shit up because otherwise he's going to be rusty by the time he gets here.
Yeah, so like he goes out and like fucking, you know, he'll take a shift and get hurt. Or something.
Yeah, because
I don't know. It's like, is he left to his own devices? Is he practicing with the team to like wearing a non-contact jersey just to stay? I would say that at first it's like, well, that's weird. Nah, I think you're all buddies with these guys. You would want as much time with them. It's like, you know, the writing's on the wall. They've told you they haven't pulled a Vancouver Bruce Boudreau situation where right. The media lets you know what you're going, but the team refuses to talk to you about it. Because they're gutless. But yeah,
that's fucked up.
I know it is. That's, well, they kind of just swapped roles, right?
Yeah.
And the Wings beat the shit out of the Canucks 2 games in a row. So that was awesome.
Yes, we did.
Okay. So another like good, fancy, schmancy, high octane. There's that word again. Octane, baby. This guy. Fuck. Oh, I shouldn't say that.
No.
Yeah. So the Oilers apparently want Erik Karlsson, which would be great for the hockey world, right?
That's fucking hilarious though.
It is. So they want Erik Karlsson.
Ken Holland.
But they're like, oh, they can't get the deal done because the Oilers want San Jose to retain 50% of his salary.
That's insane.
What? Why the that's fuck the would they do that for you?
Yeah, that's like, the maximum allowed, too.
Don't you play these guys like 3-4 times a year? So they're in your, I don't know, they're not in the same division. There's like Mountain and Pacific. So if Edmonton's
yeah,
not,
I think they're in this.
Yeah, but they still are in the same conference.
Right.
They see each other. They would potentially be in the playoffs against each other. Why would they help you? That's so fucking presumptuous and dumb.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, we just got this thing, right? So we're going to fleece you on this. I don't know. I can see there's nothing wrong
with down on the floor.
Right. There's nothing. Yeah, right. We got some butter. Get some butter. Fire.
Yeah. Get the bucket.
So, it's almost like you just came out and said, I would like that.
Yeah.
Give it to me. Do everything you can to make my life easier. You understand. You're passing the torch. And the torch is Erik Karlsson. So just pass that torch.
He's going to walk into the locker room, take Karlsson hostage, and leave a ransom note.
I'd say he just reads them like a chapter of his memoir. He just falls asleep, and then you don't even have to like do anything violent. You know, you can just walk out, just dragging him
on the tarmac.
Yeah, because Holland got lost. Yeah, right. That's why he's on the tarmac.
He's just dragging him.
Yeah, that could be potential somewhere. But because they expect that, I really hope Karlsson goes to whatever team the Oilers get in the first round instead. Just that's who Karlsson goes to. because fuck So it'd be cool if there was some big blockbuster trades, because there have been in the past, and them shits is delicious. Okay, so if you could create a trade deadline trade, regardless of whether it made sense at all, like numerically, it doesn't have to make sense with the return, doesn't have to make sense financially. It does. They do have to be playing. We can get into that in a second. But like, who would you put where?
It's a very vague question.
Well, obviously we're Red Wing fans, right? So, but we're not. Okay, put it this way. Who the hell would be good on the wings? Like, if you could pick one guy, but then I suppose you could, then you got to pick, okay, you got to lose two players to pick one player, but they can't both be two players that you don't care if they walk, right? So you got to pick someone that hurts to get rid of. But like, who, let's say the Wings make that playoff push and make it into the first round.
So they have to be playing currently.
Mm-hmm.
Two for one, huh?
Yeah, which is easy because that's certainly not what it would only be.
Right.
That's why this is hypothetically. Shit. So while Eric ponders this, we're going to serenade you with the intro music, right?
There you go.
Which I forget how it goes. You still thinking?
Yeah. Keep going.
Pick slide on the mini acoustic.
Okay. I've been saying for a while that I think the Wings need a Russian on the team. And because seemingly every time we have a Russian on the team, we do pretty well. So
Alexei Marchenko,
we did really well. Yeah, but he's not or anything. So I would trade. That's tough. Tyler Bertuzzi. And fuck, I don't, like, you don't even need to trade anybody else. You kind of do.
Like I said, the second person doesn't have to be someone that you care to leave. So you can just be like Kubelik, Suter.
Yeah. Tyler Bertuzzi, and they would probably want a defenseman or something. So let's do Lidstrom. Not Nick. Or Lindstrom, that's what it is. Not Nick Lidstrom. Lindstrom.
Yeah, you using that wrong is...
Shut up.
We're going to not edit that out, and you're going to do you're gonna do penance for that shit.
Whatever. 40 fuck lashes. Whatever. 40. For Kaprizov.
Oh, yeah. That would be for the Wings, like, speed game, and a guy who's a gamer. Oh, and I'm talent. So fucking there with you, dude.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, you never, ever see him out of Minnesota.
Right. They're never going to let him go. But
that's a good one, dude. That's a really good kind of sleeper. Because, you know, I got to say, like, it is. That's the thing. That's the point of this exercise. It's hard to think of guys who are not going to be traded for sure and remember that they exist when you're, like, on the clock, is, so to speak, for this moment. Yeah, that's a good one. So.
All right. Ditto.
Were you going to flip that around on me? That's not exciting.
All right, I'll do something else.
I'll put the guitar through the screen and you play it while.
All right, cool.
Yeah, thanks. Ask me something, but just different.
So if you were GM, this is like totally fucked up because none of this makes any sense.
Yeah, but that's fine.
Yeah, if you could get five players and a goalie to make a full line, doesn't have to make sense. And I'm going to throw in that they don't have to be playing currently.
Ooh, they got to be alive.
So like a fucking doesn't fantasy. Matter either.
So all-time team.
Yeah, all-time line, basically.
Okay. But
I would say keep it within the realm of your age.
They all have to be 35? Or?
No, like people that you remember watching video of when you were
okay.
A kid,
well, you know, I'm knowing about pretty adept at like the historical aspect of hockey. So
right,
but you let me know if some of these count. Okay,
let's cut out the players that we've never seen play, like even on TV clips, anything.
What if they're like their jerseys are hanging in a rafter somewhere, and you know a lot about it? Because then it's kind of.
Yeah, but if you've never seen them physically play, then it
doesn't. All right, well, I'll just throw them out there, and then you tell me if that's not part of the rules.
All right.
So if I was a GM, I'd have to have a cool GM name. So like,
first things first.
Yeah. So like, it's a good first name, like Chim or like Felch, right?
First name.
Yeah, Felcher. No, Chimler. There we go. So Chimler Hodgkins. Steve. There we go. So I am general manager Chimler Hodgkins, who is a general manager of the
GMCH.
Right. Of the Sioux City Sarsaparillas. Sassafrasses.
Sure.
No, the Sarsaparilla Sassafrasses. That's the name.
Okay. Right? I got
I
you.
Forgot my name already. The name's better than the team. We've been thinking about changing the name of the team. It's fucking awful. And the fans hate it. So yeah. But all right. So this is what I was gonna say. Five players and a goalie. Like
yeah. I'll allow you one Red Wing.
One Red Wing.
One Red Wing. And that's this is the tough part. I don't know if I should go with having never played for the Red Wings for the other guys or not lifers.
I think you should have to go with the never.
Never. Okay.
Yeah.
So if anyone that's played for the Wings counts as your one, everyone else has to never have played for
okay,
them.
Okay. I gotcha. God, this is.
It's hard.
The ridiculousness of it is the futility. Like, who cares?
Right.
So just say whatever. But if you really wanted to think about it, there's like so many factors that go into. There's the obvious ones where you just be like, oh.
Leave the two out.
Well, you'd be like Steve Yzerman, right?
Okay.
Because yeah. You know what he brings to the table. But you could say, oh my God. All right. So for a defenseman. I have to go with Nick Lidstrom then. That's my one Red Wing. Okay. Because obviously.
Yes.
Other D-man, probably, and this is why I want to say Eddie Shore. I know I've never seen him play, but I know like the crimes he's committed on the ice, the character type he was, like when he owned the Springfield Indian AHL team or whatever the affiliate league was called at the time. I'm not sure if it was the AHL, the American League, right? So he was such a cheap ass that he would make the team pack concession bags full of peanuts. Like his own players would have to do this as part of their contracts. That doesn't mean it's in the contract. It's just like, fuck you. You work for me. You're doing it. Right. Anything I can think you. Of. Right. So, and then he'd be like, 32 peanuts a bag. I will check them. And then he would check them. Like, Jesus why Christ. Would you make them do it? Waste all that time and then fucking go through every bag?
Because
he's a fucking, he's insane, right? So he would do that. Like, he would change the lights in the rink. He'd drive the Zamboni. They wouldn't do laundry for practice gear. So everyone just wore black because it didn't show grime and gross. Disgust and just debris and sediment and build up, right? So yeah, it's just you're getting like the stinkiest, most septic petri dish of a practice jersey all the time. He didn't buy tape. He used like I don't know what, think of something that has little tires, like a shopping cart or something, but no, they have to be inflatable because they were tire inner tubes. That instead of using tape, that's what you'd pull up over your shin pads and keep your fucking pads on, right? Because they were reusable. So you got that factor of shit. Then, like, when a goalie would kind of be a vanguard of his craft, and start doing hybrid shit, like going down to his knees, he like, no, you're not doing that. That's like saying, you know, like no curved sticks, even though I see where it's going. No long hair, none of this shit. So he would tie a noose around the goalie's neck.
Oh, yeah.
And then tie the other end, very short other end, to the crossbar and fire fucking shots that were an inch off the ice at the goalie. And every time he would instinctively go down, he'd choke himself, right? Stay on your feet. And that's what he would yell. So, and then like he almost killed Ace Bailey on the ice, like ended his career. Why wouldn't I want this guy as like my other defenseman?
In light of all that, I'm going to say no.
Oh, you fucking
because what you just said is a great example of why I must say no, because he would most certainly be in prison in today's NHL.
Yeah, amongst other canceled. So,
yeah.
All right. I need a right-handed shot then. As a D-man.
I think there are like two current players that are pretty obvious, but
yeah,
there weren't many right-handed D-men back in the day.
No, that's not true. I don't know if you want to focus on that, but it's like who sticks out. And then there's guys that I can't quite remember if they were righties or not. I don't know, man. This whole exercise is absurd because, like, okay, my other defenseman would be Scott Stevens.
Good call. Okay,
because he... maybe the jail thing, like you said.
Yeah.
But if you just watch the hits that he would lay, I mean, I grew up being like dad being like, that's the guy that you should look like when you hit people, you know? So like if all I needed, I don't even needed him to have other skills, but I mean, he does. He's, you know, he was amazing. He's as tenacious as can be, total gamer. Just like Liddy, he'd be pulling in, you know, 28 minutes a night if you needed him to. But, dude, there's so many other guys. But fuck that. Okay, we'll get out. So I got my defenseman. See, there's like nuances to this shit. And then there's the obvious stuff.
Where you
just be like Lemieux, Gretzky. Right.
Well, that's what I was saying. Leave those two out.
And Messier.
It.
Right?
Yeah.
Or...
but like our hockey brains always go to who would fit well together and like what styles of play work with each other,
right?
Not just three goal scorers.
That's the reason I picked Scott Stevens, because the rules told me I couldn't pick Vladimir Konstantinov, right? As a freaking scud missile,
of course,
hitting machine, right? Exactly.
Everyone should,
yeah. But you're right.
Buy that.
So. All right, I'm going to throw this out there because it's another example of can't use it because of the rules. So I'm going to pick as a winger, Ryan Smith, who played mostly for the Oilers. And for his Holmstrom like ability to stand, he was really, besides like Dino Cicerelli during that whole era, was really the only other guy known for so specifically being that dude who just parks himself in front of the net. And that's the other thing, like the reason to talk more about Detroit, because this is my show. Holmstrom, as long as you did like basic stuff as far as like transition game and breakouts and shit went, you could do what he did, skate as poorly as he did, not really have a shot per se. Although I've seen him roof a couple shots. And if you've ever seen his stick, he's got like almost no curve on it. Proves you don't need that to do it. But
a lot of times when he roofed a shot, it was while falling.
Yeah, right? Because he's like a fucking, if you dyed red, an injured flying squirrel that was also drunk, but it had insane hand eye. That's what it looked like all the time. Like he was always falling like a fucking flying squirrel.
Broken legs.
Yeah, but you park him in front of the net. I mean, you don't see anybody do that these days. Go back and watch Thomas Holmstrom.
No, not to the
videos.
Level that he would
look at how close he is to the goalie.
Yeah, like an inch from his face.
It's fucking absurd. I mean, it's like, and did the punishment he went through, because they're like, hey, if you're going to park your ass there, like, the refs are going to allow a little bit more liberties when it comes to the goaltenders and what they do to you, what they do to your body. Yeah. So you don't have to be a whole lot else if you're that good and your line mates are good enough to kind of take care of the rest of the shit for you. And that was what was so cool about that, you know? So if I got Lidstrom, I got Stevens, I got Ryan Smith, purely because I'm parking his ass in front of the net. And I have faith that the other two guys I'm going to pick, they make a good enough four-man unit to where it doesn't matter if the other guy doesn't really skillfully fit with them, you know?
Yeah.
But I assume we're going to draw a lot of penalties. And then the game plan is just going to be give it to Liddy and have fucking Smith stand in front of the goalie. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's where we are with that. So because of that, and again, you could do the whole, oh, just pick it because it's obvious thing. On wing, you know who I always really liked, and he didn't have a very long career in the NHL, is this dude named Ville Niemenen.
Oh, I remember him.
And he played for the time that I really got to see him was when Detroit got swept by Mike Babcock's Mighty Ducks in 2003 in the first round, right? And Ville Niemenen was the pest king, right? It's like Brad Marchand is that dude for sure. And, you know, more so Marchand is very skilled as well. But Niemenen just had that, you know, like he was that type of dude, man. And he fucking was like smile the whole time. And he looked like Ted Nugent. So it adds to the absurdity, like just giant elongated fucking Jesse Puljujarvi, Patrick Laine, Finn face, you know, they're that giant fucking weather balloon head.
Five head. And
Yeah. It's like, I was like, you had horns, but they filed them off. Didn't. Yeah, that's, that's what your shit says to me. And so he looked like a Finnish Ted Nugent. And he did. He had a sloppy skating style, very rigid, you know, very like late 90s, early 2000s, where a lot of guys still skated like that. But yeah, I pick him. So you got Ville Niemenen, Ryan Smith. Now I need a center.
There are a lot of those out there.
There's a lot of them. There's a whole lot.
What's weird, too, is this day and age, a lot of centers get away with playing wing because you have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the meantime, you want to hear my list? I made one up.
Yeah, please do.
It'll be quick.
I need to think of a center who isn't someone who played for the Red Wings.
Yeah, that's tough.
And now I'm like thinking back, like maybe Scott Stevens is good, but would I be more inclined for like Dennis Potvin? And I don't know. It's too hard to pick five people.
Yeah.
It really is.
So I have four out of five. I could not come up with a left wing, but I got Datsyuk as center.
Very hard for me not to pick Pavel.
I know. It was hard not to pick Yzerman, honestly.
Right. And now you can't pick Lidstrom.
Right. So I got that, you know, whatever. But Datsyuk is center. Jerome Iginla.
Yeah.
Right wing. You know, one, like, he is just an all around. He did everything. Mm-hmm. He could score. He could make plays. He could fight. Mm-hmm. He fucking went in the corners and just, he was an absolute powerhouse. And I loved him growing up because I used to be like kind of a Calgary fan at one point when I was a kid. So yeah, I could not come up with another wing. I really wanted to do Luke Robitaille, but he played for the Wings.
Yep.
So then I got Chris Pronger because he's big.
Oh yeah.
Chris Pronger is
someone I was thinking about with the, as a big right hand blast. I'm pretty certain Pronger's a righty. I should have done some homework.
I think he was a lefty.
He just smacks like of righty to me, but keep going. Don't let me.
Well, he better be a lefty because the other guy I chose is a righty. So, but my other defenseman is it was really, again, I couldn't do Mo Sider because of Pavel. Mm-hmm. So I went with Cale Makar.
That kind of brings me to, you're right, Pronger was a lefty. To my thing with my center.
Nathan MacKinnon.
No.
Okay.
I know he count. He is a center, even though he doesn't play on his line. But I just, you got it. I'm just going to say Connor McDavid.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's the fucking, one. I don't care what era you put all these people in. Cause you know, that's the thing about the era. And I think we did a show about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone is born and they have that drive to play hockey, it's not like you're just placing Connor McDavid in a game against Gordie Howe and he's scoring on Terry Sawchuk, right?
Right.
Because the speed would be uncanny. So there would be adaptability. He'd still be an insane top scorer in the league, no doubt. But he'd have to go through a lot of other changes to, you know, adapt to that style of play at the time. So the other guys could absolutely hang as much as anybody can hang with Connor McDavid.
And that's, you know, assuming that we're talking like he's born now and sent back in time, where I think the way that we put it before was these people would be born at the same time as Gordie right. Howe and just be the player that they are, but in that era.
Right. So to the same vein, if Gordie Howe played today,
right,
what that means is Gordie Howe as an 18-year-old is drafted this June.
Mm-hmm.
And then he plays in today's NHL. He would absolutely still be a very, very standout elite player in the NHL.
Right.
You know, because he has what it takes to do it, regardless of the style of the game currently.
Right. You know, it's just about the understanding of the game, the hockey IQ.
And in today's age, he'd probably play 30 years instead of 26 years, you know, or more, because you're less banged up. You know, you're not skating around without a helmet, almost dying
right.
when you fall on the ice.
And he played for 40 years.
Right. So, yeah, you know, it's funny to do that exercise because I thought that kind of like fizzled out more as you went, because it's not just you. I mean, as we went, like picking these guys, it's the feeling of leaving someone off.
Right.
There's always
somebody else that you would want.
Right. So if you really wanted to get in depth on the whole thing, yeah, you'd have to do a lot more. We'd have to pull out the videotape and watch a lot shit from different eras. Not to mention, I can remember a bunch of people that I just can't remember
right
now.
it is hard to do it on the spot.
Yeah, it is.
But I don't know. Maybe we can put out like a list of both of our fantasy 18 players. And two goalies.
And two Zambonis. Succulent fantasy Zambonis and two goalies come together.
Call now. $2.95 a minute.
Thank you for listening to Do for Sharpening Radio with Daniel.
We appreciate.
And Eric Riley.
Bye. We appreciate your patronage.
My name is Chelf Frumtum.
My name
this is my brother, is Eric Wright.
Sheriff Lobo.
Lobo. Lobo.
Bring back Sheriff Lobo.
You want your teddy bear Bobo, don't you?
Liar.
this is just a disaster.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We want to invite you to rate and review Do For A Sharpening on your favorite listening platform and find us on Instagram at Do For A Sharpening. Also, visit us on the web at doforasharpening.com. Today's podcast was hosted by Eric and Dan Riley, produced and edited by Evan Marlowe, social media provided by Keely Marlowe, and the music comes from Marquette, Michigan-based Sophomore Slump. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next time.